Oh, that's right. We are right here, Sharp Passes Gallery. I'm in my studio, and on the line with me here this morning is Donald Mazzella. He's a nationally recognized media personality, commentator, author, and COO of Information Strategies. He actually covered the JFK assassination live when it happened. It is my very big pleasure to introduce Donald Mazzella. How are you this morning?
Terrific. And yourself?
I'm very good. You know, there has been so much coverage on all the media about the assassination coming up on 50 years here. You were actually there. Am I to understand that?
Yeah, absolutely. Spent the 4 days covering that for NBC News, working with the team.
And were you there with the president? I mean, had you traveled there to cover him being in Dallas, or?
No, I wasn't there. I was working the central news desk at NBC, NBC News, when the first bulletin came in, and worked 24 straight hours. In those days, and to a great extent still, there was a central news desk, which brought in all the news and controlled all the news of the network. And we immediately went blank on the network and started wall-to-wall coverage. We rushed Frank McGee into a small studio and started to cover the events. First by wire, then with our own people there. Chartered a plane to Dallas and covered what was the first true national tragedy where we were able to bring it into the homes of the American people. You have to remember that it was the first time there were more televisions inside homes, and people could stay at home and share what was happening. And that's why I think it's so memorable to people. They were actually seeing it as it happened for the first time. Now we have wall-to-wall coverage, we have smartphones, we have video, etc. But in the JFK assassination was the first true national event that could be shared together. And there were only three networks at the time, ABC, NBC, and CBS. We all went blank for 4 days, and we had wall-to-wall coverage. And people stayed home and watched it. It was a very moving and a frightful time. I will tell you two things. We had prepared books for just such an occurrence. And it's I had a book, the editor had a book, and we started to do all of the things that we had prepared for, and the other two networks as well. So, and we really, television news really came of age with the assassination. People began to look to it as their primary source of information.
Now, when you flew down there, what part of it were you supposed to be covering?
Well, we were trying to what we were first trying to find out is what happened. Don't forget, it took them a while to figure out where the shot came from, that there was just one gunman. As I was saying yesterday to someone else, the report of the rifle seemed to put people at the knoll, the so-called grassy knoll, thinking it came from there, and they all ducked. So there were three major stories: the original scene, the hospital, Parkland Medical, and what was happening on Air Force One. And we were all frantically trying to figure out where to go and what to do. As people know, on Sunday, we happened to catch live Oswald being shot, and which the story had by that time shifted to Washington for the most part, because that's where LBJ went. And then we were back there in Dallas chasing our tail. And then we were preparing for the funeral on Monday. So what was I covering? Yeah. Three different areas at the same time. I was sitting at the desk next to the news editor, and we were trying to make decisions. I learned a very valuable lesson, which has gone my whole life. The editor was in charge, and this is a man sitting at this desk. And the senior vice president, Bill McAndrew, who was head of news, came over and didn't interfere because we were doing our jobs. And the only time he interfered is when General Sarnoff called, and he took the phone to tell the general what was going on. But it was a lesson in management that I've managed to follow for now 50 years, because it says, if you have a plan and you have the people, let them execute it. I eventually got an MBA, and one of the things I learned from that was just that. Hire the people, have a plan, and let them go at it. I hope I've answered your question.
Sure. Now, what to you stands out in your memory 50 years ago when you were there, and of course you were a young reporter then? What stands out in your mind today? Still, you can't shake the feeling of, or the thing that really made this real for you.
Well, I'll tell you. I was very young. I was only 20 years of age, and there were a lot of hardened newsmen, some of whom had been covered World War II or Korea, and it was the impact that the events had on them. The most sticks in my mind, we're seeing footage of Walter Cronkite almost breaking up as he announced it. But these are hardened newsmen, and the impact, what really stood out for me was the impact of his loss on these hardened newsmen. And that's the memory that I most keep. I guess the other thing is not realizing the impact on the nation until weeks later, or even years later. Whenever I happen to mention or it comes up my role in that, it's amazing. People always remember where they were. People always talk about it. Someone has said we lost our innocence there. And over the years, we've also kind of hardened ourselves to tragedy. The Boston Marathon, the latest example, we're now almost immune to the real impact. The World Trade Center, I mean, 5,000 people died, had less of an impact, admittedly had a great impact,
sure,
but less of an impact than the loss of one man in Dallas on a Friday afternoon.
Yeah, you know, you go back and you see, and of course they're playing all this footage on TV and everything, and it is kind of hard when you think back of where you were when that happened. But, you know, I was just thinking, you know, back then, you're right, we had three networks. What do you think about today with our 24-hour news cycle and everything? Do you think that's made us more jaded about all the events that happened today?
Absolutely. No question in my mind, and smarter people than me in the media agree. Let me just give you one example. Dan Rather made his name by being 20 minutes ahead announcing his death. We all had the information, but we were all waiting for the Dean of the White House Correspondents, Merriman Smith, to send over the thing because we trusted. We were newsmen who, if you, when in doubt, leave it out. And if you weren't sure and you hadn't heard officially, you didn't go.
Well, that's
today,
not the philosophy today, is it, Donald?
That's not the case.
Oh, that's right. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. Today, I mean, we see so many instances of ill-informed news people trying to explain things and guess at things rather than having a stronger sense of waiting until you were sure. And that's the pressure of the 24/7. If it bleeds, it leads. And the competition makes it difficult for them to hold back. I don't blame them. I'm not putting judgment. It's just they're under terrific pressure every time because they are worried. And we are, in many cases, seeing events live, and we're trying to make sense of things as they happen.
Absolutely. You know, though, I think sometimes the media, with the media's, or the way they're able to report stuff even before they actually know it, things become true even if they aren't true.
Well, that's the case. First impression of what you first hear is what stays more than, you know, newspapers. You could have a headline one day and a small retraction in the back. Television and the media today really doesn't even correct itself. I mean, we had the instance of the 60 Minutes admitting that their report was wrong.
About the Benghazi
right. Just recently. But yet, in that instance, they had a lot of time to vet. I give these street reporters, they don't have time. They're there, it's happening in real time, and they make choices. I just wish they'd be a little bit more conservative, but that's maybe because I'm older and come from a different generation of journalists.
Absolutely.
I've been a journalist now over 50 years, and the rules I learned as a young man with these people from NBC and CBS. Let me also point out that we, even though we were competing, we helped each other. One of the things that I thought I learned from that was how we did try. Yes, we tried to scoop each other, but we cooperated in that assassination coverage. We pulled feeds. We did things. I was on the phone with my counterpart at CBS at least 10 times that day, and ABC as well. Yes, we competed, but we also understood that you had to develop, you had to be sure, you had to be accurate, and you had to keep in mind the audience you were dealing with, an American public that had never experienced tragedy like this.
Yeah, that's so true. Now, you know, there's always been a lot of conversation about the conspiracy. What is your thought? Did you ever investigate it from the conspiracy aspect?
Well, I was part of the NBC team that worked on preparation for the Warren Report. And I worked with a real top notch group of reporters, Ed Newman, Frank McGee, and that team, we worked, spent 3 months preparing for the Warren Report so we could have a report. And it was a general consensus of every newsman that I talked to at that time that it was just one gunman. I've held that belief for over 50 years. Mark Lane came out with a book about 6 months afterwards. That was the first of a cottage industry of conspirators' theories. The latest came out last month about that the second shot came from a Secret Service agent that fell as he got out of the car, and that was the other bullet that struck Kennedy. But I've even shot the gun at the time, we all took turns shooting a similar rifle. And while I wasn't as good a marksman as Oswald, you can't get off the shots in the I forget whether it's 7 or 9 seconds that is supposedly elapsed. And if you look at the Zagruder film that finally came to light, but which the Warren Commission had copies of, I mean, it fits. On that subject, I'd like to say it's interesting. The older people I talk to kind of lean towards the just one person. Yet younger people who weren't even born then seem to think that accept the conspiracy theory.
Do you think that's because we're all so sure that there is conspiracy everywhere happening in our world anymore?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. I apologize.
Do you think it's because that young people just, we all see conspiracy everywhere on everything, whether it's Benghazi, the NSA, I mean, all these different things, it all comes down to, it seems to, some type of conspiracy.
Well, someone told me yesterday, every theory can fit a film, and a film can be made on every theory. And if you look at our films today, they're all based on government conspiracies. I mean, in 62, the only thing was there was Roswell and the flying saucers. Now we have everything is a conspiracy. But you know the old adage, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean people aren't out to get you. But I would agree. I think it is. You've put it in a very interesting perspective. I think it is the fact that they're surrounded by conspiracy.
Absolutely.
That it makes it more acceptable.
Yeah.
I've always been satisfied, and smarter people than me weren't shaken. I've known some of those people until they've died. Most of them, unfortunately, have passed, and to their dying day, they always held that it was just one gunman.
Sure. You know, as you look back over these 50 years, I mean, what thoughts have you held dear? I mean, you know, so many big things have happened in the last 50 years. What stands out in your mind, Donald? I mean, this is a fascinating conversation. I love talking to somebody that's seen it and done it and been part of it.
What stands out in my mind?
Yeah.
About it?
About over the last 50 years. I mean, you know, some of the big events. Were there other big events that you covered besides JFK?
Vietnam wars. I've covered a lot of wars over time. I've covered a lot of tragedy. I've covered Washington, which is always an adventure.
What do you think about Washington right now, Donald?
I wish I was there now. I'm not. The main thing that I've seen is the change in our perceptions of government and how government acts. as I was talking to somebody yesterday, LBJ then went on ahead and did all of the social programs, etc. But he had the cooperation of Senator Everett Dirksen, which was a bipartisan effort. And Senator Dirksen, I believe, is one of the least understood and least appreciated Senate leaders. But what I've seen is the change in how we do government. There was a feeling we don't trust our politicians anymore, and. That has, to me, been the biggest single change. That's what's standing out in my mind over 50 years of coverage. I've covered everything from a city council to the White House, and what I've seen is just a change in the way we go about governing and the way the American people seem to view our leaders. We have whatever you think about President Obama. I mean, he said, if you have your insurance, you can keep it. Clearly, that's not the case. And either he was misinformed or he knew. And the latest polls show that people don't trust. And we used to trust our presidents.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
We used to trust our politicians. And we don't do it anymore. Maybe I'm getting on my soapbox. I'm sorry, but...
I think it is rightfully so that we don't trust our politicians. I guess the question would be, should we have been more non-trusting years ago?
That's a good question. We trusted JFK.
Right.
Someone asked me, I don't think he would have been as changed the social fabric as much as LBJ did. I think he would have been much more cautious in Vietnam. LBJ made the mistake in Vietnam, and it kind of poisoned the electorate for the next 20 years. It still affects our foreign policy. I don't know. I'm reaching for words here because I think the JFK assassination changed American political and social life much more than people have given it credit for. They talk about the assassination, but what would have been, I think, is the much greater question that should be asked. And I think we've suffered from it.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I think a lot of people lost a lot of faith in a lot of things when one person can do that. And then we've seen it happen again with 9/11. And with the terrorists and everything. So it was really the beginning of a change in our whole world.
Absolutely.
Well, listen, Donald, I know I've held you over longer than I should have, but it has been my great honor to have a conversation with Donald Mazzella right here on WCRS. Thank you so much for calling us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
All right. God bless. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right. There was Donald Mazzella right here. He was a nationally recognized media personality. He was there. He was there. We're sitting right next to the editor on NBC there working this case. So had to have been a phenomenal time to be there. And, of course, then to have 50 years forward, to have all the input that he has had, what an experience, what a ride I'm sure he's had.